And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good?
Question avoided.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We're coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. On this show, we have two main objectives. One, we want to take the best of the underground, the heart, the passion that pumps through the underground that is all too often overlooked by our mainstream lives. We want to take it, we want to put it back in each other's faces, hopefully remind us of the heart that goes on down here and the passion that we live by, and maybe we stepped away from a little bit. You know, we want to find the best voices, the best fighters and dreamers and musicians and artists. We want to give them a microphone, we want to talk some shit, we want to crawl inside their heads and hopefully have a little bit of their conscience and their perspective get inside of our brains and help, you know, lift us up and find a better way forward. That's the first thing we want to do on this show. That's the main objective of this show. And on the other side of this podcast, we don't want to ignore the mainstream. We want to look squarely at it and see, is there anything good in that mainstream that we want to pull into the underground life that we live? Or is it all just something that we should just take a shit on? So we talk a lot of shit about the mainstream and the capitalist culture that we're all subjected to every single day. That's what we do here in this podcast. And sort of a constant stream that runs through everything that we do is punk. I know that is a convoluted term now, and it sort of like doesn't really mean anything. It means everything. But I make punk music, and a lot of the folks who are on this show make punk music or listen to punk music. And I think the DIY punk ethos is sort of at the heart of a lot of the underground culture that is made, although it's not the only underground culture out there. Obviously, there are sections of underground culture that we don't intersect with at all, except for the fact that we have heart and passion, like the hip hop underground or a lot of the film underground, or, you know, I mean, there's a whole huge gaping sections of the underground that punk doesn't cross over. But we're coming from a very DIY punk perspective, although I do think that generally speaking, it's more of the anti-capitalist DIY punk perspective. And I guess there's other perspectives out there, but that's where we're coming from. And on the last episode, if y'all have listened to the last episode of Dispatch from the Underground, we talked about a DIY tour that my band Skullcaster just finished doing. Skullcaster is a fairly unknown band. It's a relatively new project of mine. And we just got finished touring the whole West Coast and the Southwest. And the only reason that tour was able to happen was because of the DIY punk scene and the fact that there are so many committed, incredible punks out there in these wonderful places all across the country that are willing to help other DIY punk bands. Not to make money, not because they're making a profit on these shows that they're doing for us, not because they're even necessarily having fun doing it, but it's because they believe in DIY punk culture. And I think one of the giants of the DIY punk scene is this wonderful human being from Portland, Oregon, Jay Crash. He is an incredible person. He books a lot throughout the country. He's in wonderful bands. I know him from Dirty Kid Discount, which we played a lot on this show, but he's also in a brand new band called Ground Score, which is what we're going to talk about today. And Jay Crash is DIY punk as fuck. He's just constantly helping out friends and people he doesn't even know from all across the country because he believes in this culture and because he's a conscious brother who just is down 150%. If that was possible to be down more than 100%, he'd be the one to do it because he's just amazing. He's punk as fuck. He works harder than anybody else. I work hard and Jay Crash works harder than me. So I appreciate him to the nth degree. Today on the podcast, Jay Crash from the band Ground Score is going to be on with his bandmate Kevin, who is going to be talking about their music, how they met. And really, I think we get a very good sort of picture of what it means to be DIY punk talking to Jay and Kevin, because they're coming from a very clear perspective. They love the music. They're incredible musicians, and they are down for the DIY culture, the DIY punk culture that is at the heart of so much of this podcast and so many of the people who listen. And Kevin, Jay, just in some ways, in a lot of ways, epitomize everything that we talk about. And so I'm super excited to have them on here. I'm super excited to pick their brain and get some of their perspective and find out more about Groundscore and how this band started. I think there's a lot to learn from them on many levels, but going through their past and going through how they've stayed together as friends and musicians and how they're making this music today, I think is going to be very refreshing. I know that I talk a lot of shit about pop punk, and I'm not sure Groundscore entirely would consider themselves pop punk. And we're definitely going to talk about whether the music actually is pop punk or not. But I'll tell you right now that I think this band is punk as fuck. I've heard the album from top to bottom, and I've seen them play live, and I believe this band is punk as fuck. And so whatever qualms or qualifications you want to put on the labels for this band is undeniably punk. They're undeniably DIY, and this band goes far and above, out of the way, far more than almost any other band in the country in trying to help out other punks get shows together and make it happen, and just selfless, constant selfless acts. And to me, might not be consciously anti-capitalist of them, but to me, that's a huge part of what it means to be an anti-capitalist, is to not be a selfish piece of shit. And so much of what Groundscore represents is that. And they may not agree with my terms that I'm labeling them, but I think they represent a ton of what DIY punk is, pop punk or otherwise. And I think that I'm gonna have a ton to learn from this episode, and I'm hoping that you do too. Whether or not you dig pop punk at the end, that's up to you. I'm not going to fucking start listening to a bunch of pop punk from now on. But I will say, after checking these guys out and after really understanding them and hearing their music from top to bottom on their new album, I fucking love them. And I'm more willing to accept pop punk into my life. And obviously the DIY punk life, I mean, that's the life I choose to live. So I'm already there. But hopefully you at least will get more down with the DIY punk culture if you're not there yet. And then, you know, if you're more down with pop punk, I don't know. I guess that's a good thing. You definitely should be more down with Groundscore either way. So we'll figure out. We'll sort all that out throughout the episode. Don't get ahead of us. We'll sort all that out. I do want to say thank you to Jay Crash and Kevin for getting down with us. I know they were super busy. I had to meet up with them at the fucking ass crack of dawn in Portland because we had to do a lot of running around while we were on tour with Skullcaster. And so the only way we're ever going to make this work is by meeting up super fucking early. And these guys were crushed from the night before, from working the night before, and they had a long day ahead of them because they were hosting us at the High Watermark in Portland, and the show was fantastic. All of the bands that were on the bill were amazing. Jay did an amazing job putting the show together. Our good friend Juicy Carcass, shout out to Juicy Carcass, crusty hip hop legend. Juicy Carcass also did a fucking really cool job promoting the show, and it was good to see that brother there. Our good friends Jake, our good friends Dean and Moose were at the show. Our homies and Rash from Portland were there. It was a fucking really cool night. We got to see a lot of people. And Jay and Kevin were willing to fucking come ass early to meet me and do this podcast. So huge thank you to those guys and all of our other friends in Portland for making it out to see us and putting us up for the night. It was a really good time. I forgot how many good friends I had in Portland until we made this happen. And I made some new friends, Daphne from Portland. Thank you for letting us crash with you too. Okay, enough Portland gratitude. Let me save a little bit of the gratitude for some other fronts. I want to say thank you to Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com. You can listen to Dispatches every Wednesday night at realpunkradio.com. They have some incredible programming over there. Make sure you go check out Tommy Unit's show, which is on right before us on Wednesday night. Super happy to be part of their family over at realpunkradio.com. And if you can't get it on Wednesday night at realpunkradio.com, you can also listen to Dispatches on our website, dispatchesfromtheunderground.com, anytime, always for free. We have a new episode up about every 2 weeks. And yeah, it's free. So if you dig it, you can leave a donation. There's a donation section. There's a merch section. The money does help. The merch that we sell is a big help to me being able to do this podcast and being able to do some other musical ventures. So really appreciate all that. There's a subscription button so you don't miss a single episode. please, if you don't donate, which is fine, if you do listen to Dispatches and you don't donate, please take some time and share the episode with your communities, wherever you are, not only because it helps us, and because I think this is a great show and I love doing it, but also because I think that we on this show do actually get at the heart of what DIY punk and what DIY culture is. And to me, I think what is essentially anti-capitalist culture. And I think it's going to help people get conscious and empower them to live a non-mainstream life a little bit more, a little more conscious, a little more non-mainstream. That's what we try to do on the show. So please share this. Rate us on iTunes. Write a review, a positive review, please, about this show and share it every single week. It's the only way anyone else is going to find out about the show is if you take a few minutes and share it with your community and with your friends and encourage people to listen and tell them a little bit about what you think about the show. So that's our request. Maybe free, but help us out a little bit. We'd appreciate that very much. Either way, thank you all for listening. We're going to listen to a bunch of Ground Score throughout the episode, and we're going to play some other bands mixed in with all that. Maybe some bands that we played with on our most recent tour that we did with Skullcaster, some of the bands we saw. But we're going to get to the interview in a minute. We're going to play a tune, and then we're going to get to this discussion with Kevin and Jay from Ground Score, Portland, Oregon's Ground Score. Get down. We're going to start this podcast off the only way that makes sense by listening to a tune from the band we are about to have a discussion with. Here is Ground Score featuring Kevin and Jay from right here in Portland, Oregon. Get down. Snakes in the grass are catching my attention. The small gods are making not a sense. They want something to be that they can all sell to the masses. What's up, dudes? I'm sitting here. I'm in Portland, Oregon. Oregon or Oregon?
Portland, Oregon.
Oregon. I can't do it. Every time I say it, it sounds like I'm saying Oregon, and I feel uncomfortable about that. I'm like talking about someone's organ.
You should feel uncomfortable about that.
I'm going to fuck it up at every show we play in Oregon. That's it again?
Like a pedal organ. You know what I mean?
Fuck, yeah. Fuck me. All right, we're sitting here organ. In Portland. You all know where that is. I'm sitting here with Kevin and Jay from Dirty Kid Discount.
Oh,
I already fucked it up.
Well, it was Jay from Dirty Kid.
Jay from Dirty Kid Discount, and I'm sitting here with Kevin and Jay from Ground Score. I fucked it up already. Don't worry, I'll just edit all that out. It'll fucking sound super smooth. Yeah, yeah. No, I won't. Yeah, for sure. This man has done podcasts before.
Yeah.
What's up, dudes?
Just kicking it VIP here at the fucking closed bar.
Yo, I'm like, Jay, can we do this interview? He's like, yeah, let's do it. I'm like, well, yo, we got to do it at like fucking 10 in the morning.
Yeah. A little early for on a Saturday,
and
for
Jay's
sure.
Like, yeah, no problem. We'll just go into the bar and hang out. I'm like, yeah, let's do it at 9 in the morning. He's like, oh, come on, dude. Let's do this shit. Let's like.
Yeah, that would have been brutal as fuck. It's before noon, so it's still morning, dude. But
it's pretty awful. Only Jay Crash would let this happen this early in the morning, dude. You're such a good person.
I got the keys to the spot. I don't drink anymore, you know, so I can get up in the morning.
Oh, is that why they give you the keys?
Yeah.
That is fucking brilliant of them. But we should say we're at the White Owl Social Club in Portland, so if people come here, this is a really nice club. It's pretty amazingly nice, actually.
We had Call the Cops. And
that sounds like a terrible band.
Jay's wearing the shirt. They're from Italy, dude. They were awesome. We had them in here. Who else? Rum Rebellion.
Oh, nice.
What was the band from San Francisco?
Goop.
Goop.
Here in this spot.
Wow.
Free show.
What?
$2 tequilas, $1 tacos. Punks just went crazy.
This was really wild.
It was super fun.
All right, well, let's talk about Grindscore, because that is the band we're here to talk about. How did you guys get together? Because I know Jay from Dirty Kid Discount, which is why I fucked that up earlier. And I love Dirty Kid Discount. Jay, you know I love Dirty Kid Discount. And people who listen to the podcast regularly have heard an earful of Dirty Kid Discount because I play it very often. But how did you guys all get together to make Grindscore? Because we're going to play some tunes later, but it is not Dirty Kid Discount.
Can I start?
Yeah, please, Kevin.
I guess you got to go back like to mine and Jay's relationship.
Oh, we're going to get intimate real fast.
We're sitting together closely in a booth right now.
Let's get some
now,
wine over here. Let's get some cheese. Yeah, let's do this.
I'll drink all the wine. Jay will eat all the cheese. Yeah. We're like Jack Spratt and his fucking wife over here.
You could have the cheese and I could just watch you two just get romantic. This is nice. Okay, tell me about it.
Well, we go back to 1997. So
shit.
20 fucking years. I was a 17-year-old street punk kid. Living in a flop house here in Southeast Portland. Jay was a rosy-cheeked high school senior,
nice.
Middle linebacker,
what?
All-American, rosy-cheeked, just popping fresh out of the
fucking
oven.
Fucking football player?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
holy
yeah.
Shit. We're going to talk about that in a minute. I'm going to make some notes here. Okay.
I don't know. I guess he started coming around, and we started hanging out. And a couple years later, we ended up starting his record label together. Can we get like really real on this podcast?
Okay. All right. The truth comes out, dude.
1999, like before weed was like a legal thing all up and down the West Coast, we used to take, the way we started Crash Records in 99 was we'd take like quarter pound to a half pound of weed from here, drive it down to San Francisco.
Nice.
Sell it by the eighth. On the Hate Street. A eighth is 2.6 grams of weed.
Your math is not my strong suit, and weed is beyond my pale. So I'm so, everyone else is doing the math on here.
Anyways, you could make a bunch of money
okay.
Shorting people and selling it way too expensive on the Hate Street.
Nice.
So we go down there.
The way all punk has started.
Sell as much weed as we had, get out of town before the cops figured it out, and come back to town with a few $1,000 and put out records.
Brilliant.
That was our deal. That's how we met. So
that's awesome. Well, and you were still in high school.
That was our first business adventure.
That was our first business venture together. Now weed's everywhere, so it wouldn't work so well if we were like 19 today doing it. Like we'd get down to San Francisco, and they'd be like, "There's weed on this corner. There's weed on that corner." Like
it would have to be heroin then. You'd have to inch it up. You'd have to like step up to another level.
It was a simpler time.
I don't think anyone's down for that commitment. Yeah, for sure.
So that's how we started hanging out. I guess.
So you guys go way the fuck back. You guys have been listening to music together. You've been hanging out for a long time. Is this the first band you've ever made together? I mean, you made the record label together, right?
Yeah, we started Crash Records and later became Crash Assailant Records. But the first actual 7-inch that came out on Crash Records was Kevin's old band, My Goldfish Ned.
Oh, okay.
This was before I started my first punk band, Valid Effort. We were being little criminals, basically. And
that's barely a crime, dude. That's even the straight edge guys, like, that's not even really a crime. barely registered.
But back then, you know what I mean? It was outlaw, you know what I mean? so a lot of risks. It's funny now, but Kevin's his band, My Goldfish Ned, was actually the first release on Crash Records. There's still some 7 inches kicking around, I think.
Can I ask? I actually am ignorant. I'm an ignorant piece of shit, which I don't know if that's come through yet, Kevin, but that is true. I've not heard the band. Was it a pop punk band? Because I'm going to be excavating the source of this pop punk.
I'm a pop punk guy. What I do. That's my fucking modus operandi. But I also like thrashy stuff, crusty stuff, metal. I mean, I played bass in a death metal band for 18 fucking years.
Oh,
but
man, now it's all coming
but
clear.
That's how I understand. I understand that it can't just be sugary sweet fucking pop punk all the time. That's what might be what I'm listening to in my fucking kitchen while I'm dancing around. But like, I get guys like Jay and our other guitar player Robert to temper, you know, to offset the poppiness with some like thrashy shit, some metal influence shit.
Yeah,
you
can hear that in there. I don't want to get too far down the pop punk hole for till then. So the other guys in the band, you guys all came up together. Like, you've all known each other for a long time. Like, how long have y'all known each other?
Let me talk about that. Then you go to Bobby because you brought Bobby in. Cool. So Jay and I, it was at a My Goldfish Ned reunion show a couple years ago. We just started talking. I was like, dude, my last punk band, the Knuckles, had been broken up for a while. I was like, you know, I need to play some fucking good, solid punk. Fuck trying to be weird about it. Fuck trying to be super innovative. Let's just play some good pop punk. So him and I started jamming together, and then we brought Robert in first, I guess. So you talk about Robert?
Yeah, we brought Robert in to jam, and it's funny, I actually talked to him about it at the White Owl Social Club, like, and Robert was from a band called the Faithless Saints.
And Rob is the other guitar player.
Robert Rios. So I actually talked to him about it. It was kind of like in a period of downtime for all of us, and including Robert, myself, and Kevin and our drummer Ian Jackson. So when Kevin approached me about doing something, we had gotten together a couple times about just jamming on some stuff, but you know, about third jam we had brought Robert in to start working on some stuff, and he was he was actually peeing in the bushes, and to this day he'll say he was testing me to see if I would catch him peeing in the bushes, but the truth is he was peeing in the bushes. And I threw him over my shoulder and I said, "You want to get kicked out of here?" And he was just like, no. And then I was like, hey, we're looking for a guitar player for this new project.
That's
and
funny.
So that's how Robert actually came into the band. Even though I knew Robert, like my projects had played shows with Robert here and there.
And what was his other band?
The Faithless Saints.
Oh, Faithless Saints, right.
Yeah, yeah. That's how Robert came into the band, we started jamming with him over at his studio. So, and then our first choice of drummers came about when we...
You had your first choice of drummers?
Yeah.
The fuck kind of world is this that we're living in Portland? I was hanging out at the dude's house last night. I was here in Portland and hang out at this dude's house, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm a guitar player, but like really I like playing drums, but I just don't have anyone to play with." I'm like, you don't have any? What the fuck? That would never happen in New York City. That would never fucking happen. I'm like, drummers, I push guitar players to become drummers, dude. Yeah.
Well, today is a special day for me, not just because I'm on your illustrious podcast.
No, please, that's a fucking... Kevin, let's not bullshit these people here, dude. We're talking the truth.
I played my first punk show 23 years ago today.
Holy shit.
1994, December 9th.
Oh,
so I know
shit.
A lot of drummers.
I was in
Jay's
eighth
been doing
grade,
this shit
bro.
For, I was in eighth grade, too.
Oh, shit, we're the same age. Wow, I got a late start, dude. But, I was still listening to Metallica. I fucked up.
No, actually, it was my freshman year.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm just a touch.
Yeah,
just
yeah. Well,
smidgy,
that makes sense then. Yeah, for
just
sure.
A smidge
yeah,
older,
yeah,
but so I know a lot of drummers. Yeah. Jay knows a lot of drummers. We had a list of drummers, but the first one on the top of the list was Ian Jackson.
And he just and what band was Ian playing in?
Ian and I were in My Goldfish Ned together.
Okay.
He was the last drummer for My Goldfish Ned, the best drummer I've
awesome.
Ever played with. But we kind of parted on bad terms. Like when Ned broke up, we like. We're not friends. Don't fucking talk to me. Da 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 da. So we hadn't talked. We hadn't talked or hung out for maybe 10 fucking years.
Fuck.
But I hit him up. I was like, hey, man.
So out of the blue, hadn't talked to him 10 years. Last time was bad terms. Hit him up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How the fuck did that go? How did that go? How did that happen? Like, how? What did he say? He was like immediately like, yo, what's up?
He was immediately like, fuck yeah, I'm into it, dude. Let's meet up and play.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, and he's a super, he's a drummer, an incredible drummer. So he was super busy at the time. He was playing with Moondrake, Fabulous Windy. Just got out of problems.
That's the best way to deal with problems. Yeah, that's great.
So
that's pretty fucking good.
He was busy, but he's paired it down. He's having so much fun that he's our guy now. So.
Awesome. That's great. I mean, it comes through in the tunes. I think it's really clear when it comes through in the tunes. Like, you know, I don't like complicated music. I don't get it. It's beyond me. And so I think, like, the fact that you guys are just playing, like, straight punk, it's heartfelt, and it sounds really fucking good. Let's take a break. Let's listen to a tune. Let's listen to We're Still Here by Ground Score right now. So here it is. Get down.
Down and we've all been pushed around for years. We're all still here, we've all been kicked around, yeah, through all the sorrow and the tears. We're all still here. Down and we've all been pushed around for years. We're all still here, we've all been kicked around, yeah, through all the sorrow and the tears. We're all still here. So many nights that he spent up in the kitchen, said the food's on sale, yeah, they do up all the dishes. He can count how many times he tried. He can count how many ships he sinks. Maybe they didn't have a lady on his arm. House in the city with a load of fucking charm. Said he's sitting with a bottle in the prison with the boys in the band. We've all been beaten down, yeah. We've all been pushed around for years. We're all still here. We've all been kicked around, yeah, through all the sorrow and the tears. We're all still here. It's cause she knows all the secrets of the city. And now she likes a book I kinda gritty. And she can count on all the boys who tried. Cause in the middle of the night you know
she
because
failed.
Her there is no job on TV. She finds a passion in the poison on the streets. Sunday night you know she'll find her place. Thinking the dead is and she's still alive. We've all been beaten down and we've all been pushed around for years. We're all still here, we've all been kicked around, yeah, through all the sorrow and the tears. We're all still here, we've all been beaten down, we've all been pushed around for years. We're all still here, we've all been kicked around, yeah, through all the struggle and the fear. We're all still here.
After everything we've been, after everything. After every stupid song that we all sang on and on, and all the choices that we made, the kids just beer us to the grave. And now we find ourselves right here. We will not get into this. We will not get into this. We will not get into this. We will not get into this.
We've all been beaten down and been pushed around for years. We're all still here. We've all been kicked around, yeah, through all the sorrow and the tears. We're all still here.
We're all still here. We've all been beat it down and we've all been pushed around for years. We're all still here.
All right, listen. Jay's giving me shit in the time we're listening to this tune. And the first time I met Jay, we were in Detroit. I'm not sure if we told this story last time on the podcast. We were in Detroit, and we were playing with Dirty Kid Discount, Leftover Crack, All Torn Up, Days and Days. It was a sick fucking lineup. It was a super fucking lineup.
Epic lineup.
It was really amazing. The show was way oversold. It was scary, dangerous, like packed. It was like people. The only way I got to the merch table after the set was I walked on the fucking crowd. I'm not a light man. I am not a fucking feather. So, like, it was fucked up. And before the set, Jay and Dirty Kid were practicing, and I was just like, you know, we were just talking to you for a minute, and Jay was just not impressed. He's like, who the fuck is this cracker-ass motherfucking lawyer-looking dude? Like, fuck this dude. And then we played, and Jay's like, and first of all, I saw Dirty Kid. I was like, what the fuck? The first time I'd seen Dirty Kid, I'd heard you guys, and it was, like, unbelievable. But I knew you guys before, so I was, like, super excited. And then when we played, Jay's like, oh, okay, this guy's not just a piece of shit. All right. I mean, he's a piece of shit, but he's not just a piece of shit. Like, okay, all right, this is a little bit better.
He was just a little high strung, a little stressed.
I got a little tension. Yeah, I got a little, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's funny how that works, right? Like, I noticed that a lot of shows, like, everything is kind of cold, a little standoffish, a little.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, arm's length. And then after you play, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we all see a million fucking bands, right? And there's like, you know, you don't know each other. So you got to get up on stage and like prove that you're worthy of even being remembered, right? So it's like, okay, here's another fucking douchebag opening up for a fucking band. Let's check it out. I mean, I look like an asshole too, so it didn't help. But yeah, so, but after that, then we played Cleveland together and that was it. We were just like, all right, it's done. We're good. And we were just like good friends since then.
Then the emotional support came why Joey did the rest of the tour, you know what I mean? It said, call me anytime, you know, and if we're going to get real, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Then Joey was, you know, if he had some questions about this crazy tour that he was on, he gave me a call and kind of worked through some stuff,
got
right?
Got my back, dude. I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing that a lot of people who probably listen to this podcast and a lot of people who maybe, you know, fuck around with punk, they don't really get it, you know, but like they're at the core of punk, I feel across the country, there's a core of like very few people and very few bands that are just holding fucking everything together. And Jay's one of those dudes, you know, across the country, Jay Crash, if you need something, you call Jay Crash and it happens, you know. So
I see him be
that. That was obvious to me day fucking one.
I see him be that guy for so many people.
So
like,
many people.
If you need anything, call me. When we're on the road together, he's constantly like, oh, some, you know, just
10
advice,
after you message
support,
him. Yeah.
Like, just giving out his number, yeah. offering to be that guy for everybody.
You know, I could maybe, there's like five people in the country who do that, but none of them do him as much as Jay does, for sure. And again, like, I had met the dude one fucking day, and he's like, here's my number, holler at me, and I did, and he was most certainly annoyed, but he's fucking responded right away, and it was pretty sick, so.
Well, you are a beautiful man.
Oh, that's not, that is, actually,
you're,
is
you're,
true.
Your attractive features probably helped.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's get back to the football plan then for a second. That's fucking, what the fuck? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, listen, now that we've established that we both care deeply.
I played soccer in high school, just in case that matters.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. I played soccer a little bit too, but didn't play football, so I played hockey, actually. So we got like a whole fucking jock table of punks here. Dude, I'm gonna cut all this out because no one wants to admit that shit. No one wants to admit that we like were jocks. I'm not.
Let's get a hockey.
Well,
holy fuck.
To be honest, you know, when I was 16, I did move back to my hometown after my grandmother died, and my hometown's very small. My class was 35 people.
What the
and
fuck?
So, like,
so you like legally had to play football, or there wouldn't have been a football team.
Yeah, and it really is a big deal to the community and to my family, and especially being you know, several generations went to the same high school. And so, yeah, it was a big deal, and it's something that you do for your family, and even if you're not exactly super talented, you work hard at it.
Well, you're a big dude too. I mean, you fucking throw some people around. that didn't hurt.
Yeah, I did a bit.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm just fucking around. Football's great. I mean, I don't watch it, but I mean, people, you know, that's another thing, myth thing that is constantly happening in punk. Like, you can't like sports and fucking. I'm wearing a soccer fucking jersey like right now as we talk. So, you know, that's just some dumb shit.
I was a sports writer for several years.
Shut the professionally fuck up, fucking dude. Employed. We there's like you're onions. You guys are layers. You're a sports writer.
Yeah, I have a degree. I have a bachelor's degree in journalism and electronic media. Right.
So you're sitting there while we podcast, being like, "This is a fucking terrible podcast, dude. This is not how podcasts are supposed to work." Actually, dude.
No, podcast is new media, dude. It's a bold new frontier.
Yeah, we're defining it as we go, literally, right now.
You talk about throwing people around. I am a bouncer when I'm at home. So.
Holy fuck, onions, dude. All right, let's talk about the tunes for a second,
yeah.
Because I want to get.
That's the most important part.
I want to get. No, it's not. Being a good person is what you guys do better than no. That's more important than anything. You can play.
It is, but the most important part of this podcast.
Okay. All right. Sorry. I'm gonna talk shit for a second though, because listen, I don't know anything about pop punk. I shouldn't really even be making punk music. Technically, I should be making something else, like some noise or something like that. But pop punk is a genre that has eluded me my whole life. I've never really understood it. But I listen to these tunes, and I do feel like I enjoy that music, which just really means you fucked up. You guys fucked up, because if I like it and it's pop punk, then is anyone else going to like it? I'm not really sure.
I don't know. We've been getting a good response. Part of the point is... The term
you guys fucked up.
The term pop punk is kind of toxic.
Yep.
Over the last like 20 fucking years, it's gotten
toxic
this super
for,
bad
like,
rap.
Scene dudes, but it's not toxic for like everyone else. Everyone else like, yeah, pop punk, yes, you know.
Well, but we're seeing dudes.
Yeah,
so
we're
like,
seeing dudes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's exactly. Toxic,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I mean, you say you're in a pop punk band, and people think like
eyes roll.
I don't know, fucking Modern Baseball or some stupid shit.
I don't
like
even know
that.
What the fuck
like,
that is.
Right. It's.
You're a sports writer.
It's the modern version of pop punk.
Okay. Like Blink-182 is what I think of when
that's
I think pop punk.
That's exactly
yeah.
What I mean.
Right.
That's the start of this toxification of pop punk. 30 years ago, it was Crimpshine.
Yeah.
That was pop punk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was Jawbreaker.
Right. Exactly.
That
exactly.
Was fucking
yeah.
Pop punk.
Exactly.
Like heartfelt, melodic. We're going to throw in some fucking harmonies. Mm-hmm. We're going to try and hook you with a nice catchy fucking chorus, but we're not going to be whiny. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be polished.
I think that's a big
you know
part
I mean?
Of it is the not polished, because I think it's that when you listen to Blink 182, it just sounds like it's made in like a laboratory. It doesn't sound real. It doesn't sound heartfelt. It doesn't sound honest. There's no emotion in it, you know, but you guys bring that. It comes through. It carries through. And I think that's an element of it. I don't know.
That's,
to me,
that's the whole point is to make catchy, melodic, you know, tunes that are going to make you feel good. If you've never seen us before and you show up to see us at the bar, you're going to get it. You're going to feel good about it
for sure.
But it's not going to be corporate in any way. It's going to be real. I mean, we're fucking real dudes. We're 37 fucking years old. We've been shit on and fucking fucked over,
like,
and
all great pop punk
and
it
fucking
starts
been through
in a pile of shit,
been through the ringer a million times, so it's gonna be real.
Yeah, you know, when me and Kevin were first starting to hang out too, we used to go see like Mill and Colin in their day, or Oscar, Dillinger Four, and it's really, really actually
that comes through a little bit too. The Dillinger Four comes through,
yeah. It's very, very hard actually to play something simple very well, and when you have like big amps as well, like it's unforgiving.
Yep.
So to play simple and like through really like solid tone gear, you know, and just go for it and just thrash, but thrash within, you know, those lines, it comes out a lot heavier than you would actually think. And it hits home a lot harder. And, you know, when Kevin approached me about doing this, you know, it was just like, yeah, I want to do that. And not be what everybody thinks, and not fit into the box that people try to put me into constantly. Like, it's there's so many boxes and so many labels that are going on right now, and you know, people are feeling bad. People are feeling really bad and really down right now, and I didn't want to add to that. You know what I mean? I wanted people to feel good. I wanted people to feel kind of uplifted, and it kind of goes with me
definitely comes
getting you know, I've been sober. I'm going on 6 years.
Proud
and just
day.
Just you know, I've
driving after the show.
Proud. Yeah, exactly. That's fucked up of him. They all make us drive after the show. It's pretty fucked up.
That growth that I've gone through, like not just as like being sober, but like. But as a person and reaching out to people and trying to be as selfless as I possibly can to help other people, you know, I wanted people to feel that in music, you know, is that growth. And, you know, the sound that we got, you know, our guitar player is an engineer. His name is Robert Rios, and he runs, Eurekan Studios. And, I mean, he really just... put in a lot of hours on our record and did it with what we had. And, you know, I chimed in, we all chimed in, you know, to help and just really made an organic punk rock record, like in the basement on our own DIY.
I mean, I think it comes through, like I said, not a pop punk guy, but I listened to this whole record and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And so that one, again, makes me think that maybe you guys are doing something wrong, because I don't know if other pop punk people are going to dig it, but I liked it. I fucking was like, this is really fucking good music, period. Whatever you want to call it. Like, people can label it whatever they want, but it is good fucking music.
It's because we didn't make it for pop punk people. We made it for everybody.
Yo, the vocals on that album, like, whoever is doing all the vocals, I know all three of you, Rob, you, and Kevin, all do the vocals, right?
Yeah.
And the vocals are awesome. Like, the emotion that comes through in the album, and, you know, I don't really know. It's like, I think a lot of pop punk is like very nasally, maybe. I don't really know.
Yeah, that like.
Yeah, and I just feel like the tone you guys are getting constantly through the album is so fucking perfect. And I think this is like a pop punk record. You know how pop punk back in the day turned some people into punks? You know, like people listen to Green Day first, and then they fucking listen to
other
bands.
That was me in 94.
This is like the opposite. This is like a band that other people who like listen to like metal or other tunes, like they hear this, like people are in the scene, like listen to fucking like DB, and they listen to Groundscore and like, oh shit, I could check out some pop punk. Like, what the fuck? Like, I feel like it's music that everyone can listen to. It's pretty impressive.
Thank you, man.
Yeah,
thank
it's really good.
Thank you. And I don't want to make it sound like we're trying to reinvent the wheel here, because it's not all just about that old school raw pure pop punk from the late 80s. I mean, there's a lot of bands doing it right now. I mean, we've played with some amazing
fuck all those bands. They don't exist. They don't matter. They're not here right now. And doesn't who cares? I mean, they probably are out there, and Kevin's going to shout them out later in the episode, but they're not here right now.
No shout-outs, dude. No shout-outs. I got you.
No, you can do it. I'm fucking around. We can do that. But I just think, for me, when I listen to this, again, not aware of like a lot of the pop-punk scene, like it comes through super well that there is tons of emotion. I mean, you said it before I even went to it, but... I think that it's super clear that you guys are singing from the heart, and I don't think that's really possible to do with a lot of pop punk. Pop punk is like, I think, geared because people want to, like, I don't even know, just be poppy. You know, it's like, and it's vapid, right?
And you have to be, in order to write a good, in my opinion, good pop punk song.
Oh, let me get some notes.
Hold on. You have to be willing to be fucking cheesy.
Oh, Jesus.
If you listen to the fucking Descendants.
Yeah.
A lot of the shit he's talking about, it is cheesy. Like, people would fucking cringe to write that and actually put it out there in front of a room full of fucking people. Mm. People are too cool.
Yep.
You're too cool to say that. You're too cool to, like, appreciate the people around you. You're too cool to lend your support to your fucking friends and be earnest about it. Like...
Yeah, it doesn't sound cool to be genuine. It doesn't sound cool to be sincere.
At all, no.
That's why we have all this hipster trash out here, because they think cynical and jaded is cool.
Oh, you're in Portland, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you're from like Brooklyn, so
yeah,
you're fucking
I've been to
well versed in hipster
I've been to Portland
fucking
Junior,
trash,
yeah,
dude.
For sure.
But
yeah.
Like, we're still here. We've been here for a long time.
That's the thing. that's the thing too. Like, the sincerity never goes out of style. Like, it's there, you know. And people, I don't know how these hipsters can get along with their shit and they can do their pop punk or whatever their way, but it's not gonna stand. It won't stay forever. And it comes through in a lot of the music too. I mean, when you guys sing about loyalty, and I feel like it come, there's a lot of it in the album. Not loyalty in some, you know, bullshit like pride sense, but like loyalty to people who've been by you. I mean, that to me, that was a theme in the album. I don't know if I got that right or wrong.
And to people who have possibly treated you like shit as well. Mm. See through that and like be there for them.
And the heart came through on that shit for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. That's one of the themes in the record. There's a lot of like inner struggle that we just put out like on the table and admit it in front of people. Like, this is the things that I'm struggling with. I know that other people are struggling with it too, but I'm not afraid to say that I'm struggling with these things. That's a common theme, like, you know, in this country. Mental health is a big problem that is untreated, and a lot of people are scared to deal with it. You know, the same thing with, you know, addictions and depression, and that's something that, you know, is put out on the table that, you know, reach out, get help, ask for help, look for help. It's out there, you know, and it starts with starting to feel a little bit better one night, you know what I mean, or one listen to a song or something like that. And then don't be afraid, like go ahead and reach out, go ahead and look for the help. That's a big theme in the album, I think, at least for myself.
I think, you know, we talk about, on this podcast, we talk a lot about empowering music, and I think that also comes through in this record, like music, like you're saying, music that makes you feel better. You don't have to, you shouldn't feel bad for listening to music. You should feel good. You should want to bring people together. That's what we do as entertainers, as musicians, is we bring people together, and good music makes people feel better after they hear it, not feel down about it. And I think there's a lot of downer fucking music out there, and I make some of it. Sorry about that.
Well, dude, there's something uplifting about a fucking song about chaos, mm-hmm. or Riot City or fucking whatever. Yeah. Like, that shit can be chaotic, yeah. and uplifting at the same fucking time. Like, we're positive, and we try and communicate a lot of positive messages in our music. That's not because we're fucking happy joy mm-hmm. all the fucking time. I mean, our lives are shit, mm-hmm. just like everybody else's. But what do we want to get out of the music we're creating? What we want to get is uplifted. And yep. We just hope to communicate that to the crowd. Like, we're here trying to uplift ourselves, and hopefully you all can get on board and come with us. You
know? It definitely comes through, and, you know, people singing along. Like, these songs are infectious. Like, they're super infectious. I want to talk about one before we end, and I want to play it. It's not one that you suggested that we play, but I love it. The first song, Snakes in the Grass, I think is fucking fantastic. I mean, good pick for first song. I think
Bobby
it's the best
D.
song of the album. Super fucking good song.
Thank you.
And the lyrics are not just positive. It's like, you know, it's like there's, it's not just negative. I mean, it's not neutral either. I mean, it sort of like swings back and forth within the song, I feel like. You know, there's like elements of the loyalty that we talked about. And then that last fucking like line, maybe the last line, I don't remember which line it is, but it's like,
if you have to ask me where my loyalty lies,
it's not with you. That shit is harsh, dude.
That's Robert. He
That's
wrote that song.
That's a heavy ass line, dude.
I love it. It to me, it harkens back. That song harkens back to a lot of great pop punk songs from the late 80s and early 90s in terms of addressing the music industry, addressing your scene, addressing the things around you. And we were just talking about fucking hipster trash, dude. Yeah. I mean,
The vapid folks fade away, you know? They fucking take what they want, and then they run off, so.
Yeah, we also, like, I helped during that writing process a little bit. Like, we adjusted some lyrics as it went, and Robert had a great song written. I mean, just front to back, it was great. Our drummer really helped with the beat. It took him a long time to kind of get his, you know, gallop or, you know, kind of jumping style on that beat. But we really aim the lyrics to be about, to a point, like how fake people are and seeing through that, you know. And in a scene, or not just a music scene, but just like, you know, in life in general, like people being out to get something from you and putting on a front to get something from you, and them not being real and basically seeing through that, you know. I think that's when we adjust the lyrics and it became the final product. It aimed at that theme as well.
I think it's a perfect way to start the album. I mean, it's catchy as fuck. Like, it's hard not to me, it was hard not
but
to
it's
listen
still
to that
raw
song.
Though.
It's still raw. It's still heartfelt. And it's got emotion that carries all the way through the rest of the album. And I don't think that's easy to do. I definitely don't think pop punk has ever done that for me. Although maybe I haven't listened to enough, but I've heard it. You know, you go to shows.
I'll give you a playlist.
Yeah, they don't exist, Kevin. I'm just saying they really don't exist. But you guys. Yeah, it's super
I'm the pop punk professor, dude. I'll take you back a little bit.
Oh, shit. I'm terrified. I'm actually a little bit nervous about this excursion. We talked a little. We started off with romance, so we're going to end
afraid,
a little
dude.
With romance.
Embrace it, man.
Rob,
you know?
Kevin's taking me
we're
to
growing.
An uncomfortable place. And
we're growing.
It's like,
we're learning.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable right now. Yeah, with you right now, I'm uncomfortable. Yeah, you guys did a great job with the record. So, Ground Score, Old Theories on Society. First of all, what is the name? I don't get it.
The song Alone and Tested.
Okay.
The song Alone and Tested is about kind
that's
of
from that's the that's that title's from that song.
Old Theories on Society. It's about kind of the growth process, outgrowing, you know, friends or scenes and still kind of adhering to those old ideals that, you know, you still held.
Oh, that makes sense.
Our old theories on society. Like I'm out here testing all these old theories that we had about families, about community, about all this
stuff.
Punk
has never been that deep. I don't think.
I got a lot of time to think about it.
Yeah, that's the journalism degree right there.
And drink about it.
The album just came out. It came out in October, right?
Yeah, right before our first tour. Yeah.
And you guys are releasing the tape
tonight.
Like, well, I'm not sure when this is going to air, but yeah, this is getting released tonight. We're playing, my band Skullcaster is playing tonight with Ground Score at the High Water Mark here in Portland. It's impossible for you to be there because you will have heard this after that happened, but you can get the tape on your Bandcamp page. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's groundscorepdx.bandcamp.com. Nope, I fucked it up. Oh, shit. All right, my bad. Then
our website.
Let
me do the plug-in real quick.
No, just to delete
I don't
all
get
that.
To shout out our buddies, but yeah. I'll plug our shit. Groundscorepdx.com.
Okay.
From there, you can go everywhere.
All right.
Our Bandcamp is there. Our shows are there. Our tour listings and stuff. Groundscore.bandcamp.com is where you can listen to our shit for free.
Or pay some money to download it.
Or pay some money.
It would be better. And buy some tapes and shit. Dude.
You were talking about our merch earlier and our artwork.
Yeah,
like,
so
we have a bunch of sick shit by Germ. He did us really right. Like,
I love the back image of the album.
We've grown into his imagery, honestly. So if you go and look at our shirts, our patches, our stuff, they're all just amazing artwork. I'm blown away by it.
Yeah, Germ really took our concepts and nailed it and put his own style into it as well. And there's a lot of like throwback in our art concepts, and we can't thank him enough. He really helped us get an image for our band that sparked so many different ideas just off the visuals after that. So.
That's pretty fucking outrageous shit, man. I was telling Kevin before we started, I love all the art, but that like red and yellow back image, you need to put that on a t-shirt and fucking sell
it. It's
that
all a t-shirt.
Can I get one? Can I get one made without a weed thing on it?
No, dude. Hey,
I'm gonna black
you know,
that
that's
shit
kind
out.
Of funny. It doesn't really come up that much when we're on the West Coast.
It's just me
because like Washington, California, Oregon, it's all legal. So like weed is just everywhere. Nobody gives a shit. When we get to like Texas or Oklahoma, they're like, "Yeah, I can't buy that shirt."
Oh, really?
Sorry.
it's not like a walking around thing. I don't think anyone wants straight edge people as their fans because they are the cheapest, shittiest people in the world, and I'm saying that as myself, as I don't, I'm sober, dude. But I'm not gonna. Yeah, I just love this image so fucking much. It's so sweet, dude.
You can Sharpie it out.
Yeah, it's gonna be. It's gonna be. I'm gonna see a hole. I'm gonna put my nipple right through that fucking hole. It's gonna be super uncomfortable, but that's okay. I'm getting Kevin back for the uncomfortable.
Well, I gotta say about you know the weed stuff that was in our imagery. You know, it goes deeper than just smoking weed. You know, we're from Oregon, and they really, for the most part, got it right, and it's become like an industry that has like benefited a lot of people. Where you know, in other states, you know, like it seems like it's kind of set up to be capitalized on. Where you know, they let people grow their own, you know, like at home, and it's provided a lot of jobs and income for the state. And I think it's really an example and kind of punk rock in its own way, like the way that Oregon brought the industry up. It's not perfect. I'm not saying it's not perfect, and I'm not saying that there are things that are not wrong with it, but I do see some benefits for it. And so the weed theme, it, you know, it kind of throws back from us being from Oregon, but it also, you know, throws back to like, hey, this could actually benefit a lot of people, you know, medicine wise, you know, it, it provides jobs for people. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, it's not us like supporting, you know, drugs or people.
I wasn't trying to give you all shit, although that did come out that way, but that's how I deal with things. But I will say, and I will say that in Oregon, you guys do it, I think, different than a lot of other people as well, from just touring and traveling. I won't name names, but Denver or Colorado, I mean, I just, that place is just fucking, something went wrong with the way they did the weed there.
That place is crazy.
That place is fucking nuts. That everybody, maybe it's the fucking Mile High shit, but everybody's fucked. And that shit doesn't seem like regular weed. That's like PCP weed. That's like some fucking crazy shit.
They're taking but dabs and fucking.
Everybody here seems cool. Everybody here's like level-headed and like calm, you know, like not fucking nuts about it. So some shit's going right here. So I will say that. All right, I'll leave my fucking straight-edge hang-ups off to the side and fucking get myself a t-shirt and fucking rock that shit.
Don't you know what? Fuck anybody that judges you for that fucking pot leaf on there, dude.
They might have a point about me because that would be fucking a little bit ironic, but I think the fucking band is so sick that I think I'm willing to do that. So groundscorepdx.com is where they can get everything.
Everything. Yeah.
All right, cool. Thank you guys. I appreciate it so much. Fucking you guys not only doing the interview with me today, fucking like 6 a.m. or whatever the fuck it is right now, but also people don't know this. I already talked about how great Jay is. Jay put this shit together in Portland for us. He fucking busted his dick to make this show happen. He's fucking been behind, you know, anything we needed, he's been on top of it. So I super fucking appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much.
That's a team effort, you know what I mean? Like, there's some good folks over at the High Water Mark, and also Broken Dead from Eugene, which is a band that's coming up, just fabulous band. Juicy Carcass has been
he's been
spreading the word, you know, pumping it up, and Bad Channels, you know, which is buddies of yours, I think.
Yeah, some dudes I know. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Like they're playing tonight as well. Like so, it's really just about getting a bunch of good people involved and helping out the guys that are on the road, and you guys are on the road, so yeah, I really can't take credit for everything.
It's really just Jay, but thank you. Thank you, Kevin, for doing this shit, bro. I appreciate it, man.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Jay, for everything, brother.
Thanks, Joey.
And to the rest of you, get down. I play this next band a lot on the podcast. It makes sense because I play them a lot in my life. I love this band a great deal. This is Dirty Kid Discount. It's featuring Jay Crash from the band Ground Score that we've been talking with all episode. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I was blown away from the first moment I watched them and have just been so honored to consider Jay a friend since that show. And I think he's a fantastic musician and a great person, and I think you're going to hear it in this band because it's fantastic. So here is Dirty Kid Discount from Portland, Oregon, featuring Jay Crash. Get down. We'll be right back. All right, that's the end of the episode. I want to thank Kevin and Jay from Groundscore again for coming down and doing this podcast with me super early in Portland, Oregon. I want to say thank you to Jay also for helping Skullcaster on this tour, putting together an amazing show in Portland, Oregon for us. We really had a blast. I always have a blast with Jay, and it was super nice actually meeting Jay's sister at the show and getting to see a bunch of my old friends from Portland. Jake Wynn, who used to book here in New York at Don Pedro's, is a good friend. I love that guy so much, and I really appreciate the fact that he let us stay at his place. My brother from another mother, Dean and Moose, who I haven't seen in years, and it was so good to hang out with you guys and fucking see you guys in Portland and fucking chill for a little bit. I love you guys so much, and I miss you all the time. It was nice meeting Daphne, a new friend from Portland who put us up also, and her lovely dog. We had a great time in Portland. It was just fucking really great to see everybody I haven't seen in a long time, and also meet so many new people. And it's all because Jay took the time and care to put such a fucking fantastic show together. And I really appreciate it, Jay. Not only for this, not only for the music you make, but everything you do and making so much of the punk that we all love possible. And people don't know it yet, but they should. Jay is a huge part of it. So thank you very much, Jay. Love Groundscore. Also, huge shout out to Jay for putting on Broken Dead from Eugene, Oregon. I fucking love this band. They were fantastic. I know they're going to be touring in April in the U.S., so if you're around anywhere, we played them on the last episode. Broken Dead from Eugene, Oregon. Fantastic fucking band. Super, super dig them. Anyway, thank you to Broken Dead. Thank you to Jay. Thank you to everyone who continues to listen to Dispatches from the Underground and continues to share us all over the internet and social media. It's the only way anybody else would know about this show, so thank you all very much. Thank you to everybody out there who continues to be conscious and reflective and constantly struggling to challenge their perspective and change their perspective to be more in line with the just future we all want to live, to empower those who've been beaten down by capitalism, to beat the system down, to no longer do the things it does to people all over the world, including right here where we live. Thank you to everybody out there who's just pushing for a better world. And hopefully Dispatch from the Underground is part of you reflecting on the world you live in, part of you getting down with the heart and passion that is in the underground that gets choked out of us so often in the mainstream by these capitalists we confront every day. And thank you for letting us into your head. Hopefully we've done some justice today, and we'll see you again in the very near future. Continue to check us out on dispatchersfromtheunderground.com. We're up there every 2 weeks. You can subscribe there. There's a ton of other ways to get down. Check us out on social media. Just search for Dispatchers from the Underground. And until next time, I hope you all keep digging it. Get down. Here's a band that Skullcaster played with on the same tour that we played with Groundscore on. We played with this band in Dallas, Texas. We played with Days and Days. They put on a fantastic show. We had a really good time there. All of the bands that we played with on this tour have been fucking exceptional. Actually, that's not true. I think there was one band that was pretty fucking shitty. But most of the bands that we played with on this tour have been fantastic. And here's one of those bands. This is a band that we played with in Dallas. I'm not sure if they're from Dallas, but they're definitely from Texas. And they'll be making their way to you in the very near future. I think they're playing around the country this summer. So here's a band called Noogie. Check them out. Get down.
Close-minded American patriots, thank you. Yeah.
All right, I want to end this episode with one of my absolute favorite bands in the country right now. I love this band so much. I've seen them live like a dozen times. I super enjoy seeing them live, and I have the honor of playing with them in the very near future. Rats in the Wall just released a bunch of new music through Program Skate and Sound in California. They just released this. I think this is their first releases on their new record label, Program's new record label. You should check it out. This is not off their new album. This is off an older album, but I'm sure these new tunes are going to be just as good as this one. And again, this is one of my favorite fucking bands, so I strongly encourage you to go check these guys out. My band, All Torn Up, will be doing a short tour with this band, Rats in the Wall. February 15th, we're playing at Century in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The 16th, All Torn Up and Rats in the Wall will be playing right here in New York City at El Cortez. That's going to be an all-ages show. The 17th, I don't remember all the dates. The 17th, we're playing with them, I think, in Baltimore. And 18th, I think, in New Jersey. And the 19th, we're going to be in Boston. And again, and the 20th here in New York City. So a bunch of shows with All Torn Up and Rats in the Wall. And the last shows here in New York City and in Boston, my other band, Cop Out, we're going to be doing our first shows really with them as well. So huge, huge shows coming up. Make sure you check them out and make sure you get these new tunes by Rats in the Wall. So here we are right now. Here's Rats in the Wall from Orange County, California. Get down.
What?